about the law.
Murphy's Law Podcast, your host, Ian Murphy.
And I'm just like,
this is hard for him to hold back.
So much I want to share.
Remove all the emotion from all of this stuff.
And they never wanted this to happen to the citizens again.
We never stop growing as an individual. Right. So.
All right. Thanks for joining us this week's episode of Murphy's Law. With me, as usual, my good buddy Chris Kuhn. This week we decided to, we've kind of been sitting on some security footage from when the Liquor Commission investigator came here December, I think it was 5th, something like that.
Conveniently on a Friday night, I think it was.
Friday night.
Busy,
6:30,
dinner hour.
7 o'clock.
Wasn't
yeah.
staged, wasn't planned.
A lot of people have seen this, if you have seen it either through our public hearings, some of this body cam footage from the rear entrance interaction has been submitted as part of the state's evidence.
And
so
you posted the tail end of it.
We posted it, the majority of it. What you don't see is when he first comes into the restaurant and the interaction that he has with some of our regulars as well as a couple of our employees while waiting for me to show up. So.
And I know people have been requesting that you share this for a long time because it's, you know, it's important to see just, you know, the demeanor and how he went about instead of just waiting for you. So we'll go through that.
Yeah, there's a couple of things. You know, the gentleman in this video that we're about to watch, and we'll post the entire this entire video alongside with this episode as well, so everybody can kind of judge for themselves. And some of it's hard to hear, so we try and do our best to decipher some of it. By no means was this guy coming in here and tossing tables over and throwing beer bottles around or anything like that, but you can tell by his attitude, his body language, among other things, that he felt very entitled to do what he was doing, you know, under the guise of being a licensed premises. And then again, it is a privilege to have a liquor license, where these are things that we agree to, the inspections at any time, that sort of thing. I have fundamentally disagreed with how he particularly handled this, given that he has my home phone number, my cell phone number, a number of other things, but this is the way that they chose to handle it at this time. Now, this is over a year ago. This is December 2020. So this is just after we had opened back up for a week or so after the second closure in November. So they came in and gave us an order saying that we had a show cause hearing for violation of the new emergency order to shut down and the mask order and the sign-in sheets and
which,
that other stuff.
And that hadn't happened.
Right. That had not happened. We'd received a notice that we had this show cause hearing, which I reference in the end of this. So there was an ongoing process that unfolds throughout any kind of violation. And we'll talk a little bit more about the violation as we get towards the end of this clip. But so we just wanted to share this with everybody. And again, we're not trying to admonish the investigator in this by any means or the Liquor Commission. But we just kind of want to show everybody exactly kind of what did happen that day and kind of just the overall attitude of the Liquor Commission in this particular time. They were acting on orders that they weren't exactly sure what was happening. This all stemmed from 333.2253, yeah, which we exhaustively talk about.
And he references an emergency meeting.
Yeah.
Basically to skip your show cause hearing.
Right.
To yank the license.
Right.
And again, the whole thing could have been done differently. Could have been done a different time. Could have called you. Could have texted you. Made sure you were here. Waited till you got here.
We have similar footage, and we'll try and put some of that out. It's not very fun to watch. It's not interesting by any means, but it was the proper way that we felt that it should have been done with our local Gaylord City Police Chief.
Which he plays.
And a couple of their officers came over, and we had a great conversation. And at that time, that's when I surrendered the license. You know, it was never hidden.
No.
We'll show a couple. Let's just go ahead and run through some of this, and we'll see. What's going to happen is you'll see the Liquor Commission investigator walk in the front door up over here. So if you want to go ahead and just roll it. You see him come in over here. Yeah, we jokingly call him Serpico. Go ahead and pause it, Mark. So we've noticed a number of things, but we kind of keep track of his, we call it a trapper keeper, but his little folio there, he gets in and out of several times. He fumbles around with it. You can tell he's not comfortable. You know, it's one of the first things that you notice right away. I'm sure he probably had better things to be doing than to walk into our place on a Friday night trying to do this. So we don't, you know, pretend to think that he enjoys what he's doing. That may be the case. I don't really think so. We've had very limited dealings with this investigator. He was the gentleman that did our overall investigation when we first opened the restaurant and everything. So we had virtually no contact with this gentleman until this evening. Go ahead, bud. Okay, go ahead and pause it. So you're going to see, so he just asked for where our liquor license is. So part of the license agreement is that they can come in and they can inspect virtually at any time for any number of reasons. That they get a phone call that they're, you know, might be some gambling going on, among many other things.
Well, and you know, I was just thinking here, because you'll see in a few minutes him grab it, but you, from the time he walked in, the amount of times you walk that he looks around, I mean, knowing where that was sitting, that's in clear visibility.
So what we actually have and what he's about to grab here is, we, by law, we are required to have our liquor license on display, among other things,
right.
Tax license, food license. We have to have these things, as well as several other things. This particular time, we had to have the emergency orders posted. We have to have our sign-in sheets. So anyways, what Brad doesn't know, and he would have known this if he had bothered to contact me, is he's about to discover our expired liquor license right over here.
Sitting on the shelf, frame.
Sitting on the shelf in a frame. I purposefully did that. I knew that from other cases around the state that the Liquor Commission was coming in. I do know that they have the right to come in at any time. What Brad doesn't know is that at the other end of the bar over here, where our sales tax license sits, our health department
was the current license.
License sits, and the... So many people have gone into a bar and have seen the age restriction poster. Every year, they're a different obnoxious color. Usually what happens is that license and that bright year poster are posted right next to each other. And I think this particular year, I think, was a bright turquoise blue. So at the other end of the bar right over here is our current license and the other age restriction requirement display.
Neither which he bothered to look for.
Neither which he bothered to look for. So he's about to grab a license here off the wall. Go ahead. Oh, here it is. So this is him basically giving our bar manager a bunch of paperwork. She had just called me. I certainly can, he says. So these are some friends of ours, some locals sitting at the bar. I don't need any comments from the peanut gallery, he says. It's the way it is.
Bantering with patrons.
It's just the way it is, he says. You don't get to question me. No, I don't. Yeah, take your position at the end of the bar, bro. La-di-da.
And you know, other than trying to look busy, I'm trying to figure out why he opens his folder so many times.
Yeah, go and pause it. So, yeah, what he has in his Trapper Keeper right there is he has the emergency order, he has the cease and desist order, and then he has the notice of emergency suspension.
From a mere hours before.
From hours before. 2:30, 3 o'clock down in Lansing, they decided to emergency suspend my license after I had already been notified of a show cause hearing for this violation.
Why you gotta be so mean?
So basically, mean barbecue, man. So basically what this means is that they didn't like what I was doing.
No, and yeah, obviously that didn't work. And then they came up for food license. Then, no, look where we're at now. That didn't work either. So this is this gets interesting coming up here.
Yeah, it does get interesting. And the part of it, you can see how he feels entitled to come back here. He hasn't even spoken with the license holder yet.
No.
But yet he feels so entitled because they have the right to inspect. He feels entitled to be telling our staff what to be doing without talking to me yet, without presenting me any documents, takes things off the wall over here, tells my staff not to do this, that, or the other. And it's like, just hold your horses, you know?
And at that point, he knew you were on your way.
So after he gets done fumbling around with all this stuff, he actually, what you can't hear in some of the gibberish, is he requests an office to go sit in while he waits for me. And they basically say, you can go over here in the dining room and have a seat. So that's basically what he does. And I only live about 10 minutes from the restaurant. So from the moment one of our bar staff calls, my bar manager calls, I get here and this whole thing is kind of unfolding when all he had to do was sit there, request to speak to the owner, got a hold of me, 10 minutes goes by, right? What damage is being done by one more beer being served or one more thing being rung in? Absolutely nothing.
No, and what I really don't like is the interaction with the customers. Regardless of what his role with the MLCC is, referring to your patron as the peanut gallery and just
yeah.
bantering back
it's
and
condescending
forth with them. It really is.
I mean, we've seen that a lot, the condescension from the state, basically these state agencies that, you know, that were just standing on this health code, and still had no idea what he was talking about when he's talking to our regulars right there saying, well, you know, just file with the court. No, you know, it'll probably get overturned. You know, it'll get the W, this, that. He doesn't know what the hell he's talking about.
He had no idea.
He has no idea. I asked every single one of these people that came in and gave us paperwork over that year. And I said, well, what does this mean? Well, you just have to read through it. Well, no, what does it mean? You're dropping these things off. You don't, you're telling me you don't know what it means.
Well, that happened with the cease and desist as well when they dropped that off to you.
Yes.
They didn't know.
They had absolutely
They had literally
no
just
idea.
Picked it up and got told to give it to you.
And sometimes they're not required to, right? It's a physical person that comes and delivers something. That way, that person can then be called into court to verify that I have been served documents. They can say, Chris Kuhn came in. Did you deliver such and such paperwork to Mr. Murphy on this day? Blah, blah, blah. You don't need to know anything about that case.
Well, I sure would think they would need to be educated a little bit, I would think.
I would like to think so, too, but that was part of the experiment, if you will, is to see if any of these people really knew what was going on.
We should start calling the last 2 years the experiment.
In more than one way.
In more than one way. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so he's going to go have a seat over here. I think I come in here in a minute. So I'm basically telling him, hey, let's go have a seat, have a conversation out back here, basically off my property. So, you know, our property basically ends right here. And this is our security camera out our back entrance right here.
So make sure you wave and say hi next time you come in.
Right. So what you... Hold on for a sec, Mark, if you want to pause this. So this is what you don't see before... on the body cam footage that was submitted as evidence, and we have also posted on our YouTube page as well. That's public evidence. Officer Getz comes in here in a little bit, in a little while, and it's his body cam footage that you're going to see. But this is what you don't get to see on that body cam footage.
When you leave your commission, you have the right to come search, inspect, anytime you so choose. Okay? You know that when you sign your documents, that stuff is all taken care of.
You don't get to come in. You don't get to come in behind my bar and harass my staff.
I can come search.
You don't get to come in and harass my staff, right? Come on, man. You don't want to be here. I don't want
you. This guy doesn't even want to come in.
Okay, so don't harass my staff and don't start taking things out of place.
Body language.
You guys know how to get a hold of me. This is ridiculous. It's fucking harassment.
Take your suspension order.
I'll take my suspension order.
Here is the notice of complaint.
Hold on, pause it for a second. I knew I was on camera, on my own camera at this point. What I really wanted to say right here when I said I'll take my suspension order, and really what I really wanted to say is, and shove it up your ass. And so it sounds silly for me to say, well, I'll take my suspension order, but that, I stopped short of saying, and I'm gonna shove it up your ass.
And like you said, body language, you notice how he had to stand firm and invade your personal space.
You can just tell that he's not used to any of this pushback, I guess, if you will.
No, so. And you correct me if I'm wrong, but when he said, I have the right to come in and search your property, isn't inspect, not search?
Yeah, I mean, it'd be parsing words a little bit, but really what they're looking for, it depends on the situation, right?
Any number of things.
And, well, in this particular situation, he was here to see if we were still open and serving alcohol, which he easily did, and at no time did he need to have any interaction with anybody other than myself, or at least until I got there. There was just, you know, he could have simply let the bar staff know,
well, and again,
MLCC is here, please get a hold of license.
Later order. In the hearings, when the hearings did begin, he said that basically none of this happened. I remember hearing him say none of that happened.
Yeah, he did. I do recall some of that. And it's it's just ridiculous. But let's go ahead and continue this here. My phone is actually recording this as well.
So you're gonna hide it? I'm not hiding anything. I don't know where it is right now.
This is where the license is at the other end of the bar.
Great. Okay.
I just explained to them. Good afternoon, sir.
So this is the body cam footage angle.
He's trespassing in my property right now. I'm sorry.
Okay, your license is suspended.
No more.
Okay, you have a...
I thought I had a notice of show cause hearing.
It's December 11th.
Okay, so I have a notice of show cause here, because you don't need to just suspend my license without a notice of show cause. I already have the other stuff going. So for you guys to come in here today, it's a violation of due process.
Get him turned away.
Is it not?
No. Listen to me. If you would give me a second, I would explain to you exactly how this played out. I'm not going to argue with you. We're going to have a quick conversation.
No shit, you're not going to argue.
The commission, just right before the commission today, they issued an emergency suspension order, which is what they did. Your license is suspended right now.
They didn't like it. They didn't like it.
We'll see.
Go ahead and pause it. They didn't like the fact, so this was the hammer that they were using over all restaurants with liquor licenses, right? They knew that liquor licenses are difficult to get. They're expensive. So they knew by adding the liquor commission on top of it, threatening to pull their licenses, threatening to fine us, all of these other things, that was the biggest hammer that they were trying to use. And I knew it. I saw it downstate with a couple of other barbecue joints, and I knew that's what they were going to try and do. And I was calling their bluff is really what I was doing. So for them to then turn around and issue an emergency suspension, I really knew that they weren't having any part of it.
No, and at that point you knew they definitely weren't going to stop.
Now remember, at this time, and throughout this entire time, we never had any COVID in the restaurant. No contact tracing, nothing. It would be one thing if we were sitting here and there had been an outbreak in our restaurant the week before, either among the staff or contact tracing, any of that. Prove to me that we are being a harm and endangering our community.
Well, and again, if we discussed, going back to following things the proper way would have been on that college campus, which would have been to, if somebody did have COVID here, to post a sign on the door saying somebody here may have been exposed.
Right.
Which would have been, according to their own rules, the way to do it.
We'll probably dive into that a little bit because, you know, with everything that goes on, and we've talked about before with the health boards, the use of the Emergency Management Act, people are going to have to know what that is. And that is how these emergency guidelines are going to need to be issued from now on, is in these 28-day periods that say, you can virtually say whatever you want. The issue is you just have to have hearings.
Well, and you have to follow the process that you lay out.
So we'll probably get into a little bit more of that, but that's where that due process portion comes back into it. And it gets those administrative folks out that aren't held accountable. This guy is not held accountable to anybody but his bosses at the Liquor Commission. The Liquor Commission is part of the executive branch, right?
As is Health and Human Services.
Right. So they are unilaterally and then issue an emergency order based on their own. So they didn't go somewhere else and say, oh, look at what they're doing. Can you get an injunction? They just unilaterally said, we're going to go ahead. We don't like it. They're not taking the bait. They're not giving up. So let's go in there and emergency suspend them.
You know, and this all ties into why now we have the House and the Senate throwing their hat into your lawsuit.
Right. Absolutely.
Because they got bypassed. Essentially, every step of the way throughout this, they've been bypassed.
All right, let's see exactly. There's not a whole lot left to this, but go ahead and let it roll, Mark.
Okay, that's all you got to do. Don't ever, ever, ever come back and harass my employees. Don't ever come back and touch anything that is not your property. That's what I'm trying to say.
He doesn't care. See, he didn't care. He didn't have to care.
That are not yours. Don't get to grab things off the wall that are not your property.
I'm fidgeting.
Regardless if they're your license or not, that's my property that you're coming in and harassing my employees. Hi, Kevin.
Is there any questions you have?
I have absolutely no questions, but I just need you to acknowledge that this is private property.
This is a licensed premises under the strength of our
license.
Under the strength
of our license. You come onto private property without.
Look at him laughing. He's laughing right here, by the way.
This is what's going to happen.
That's how arrogant.
I don't want this to happen.
You clearly do. I clearly don't.
I've been very, very nice with everybody from the MLCC and everything else. But when I get an emergency phone call, somebody trying to rip things off of my wall and harassing
like
my employees.
Right here.
You're damn right I'm going to put in here. I'm going to have a problem.
Wash your cameras. I didn't rip anything off the wall.
It doesn't matter. On private property, Brad, I just need you to understand that.
He's not licensed property.
If you want, I can. But it's also private property. I pay. This is my place, okay? Right?
Right, okay.
That's it.
I can either get a chat tomorrow if you want.
I can get an email to me. I just need you to understand this is just private property.
Would you say if you just closed the bar like we wanted?
Yep.
So come in here next time you do this to another place, because there's going to be another place that does this. Be a little bit nicer and don't come in and threaten to pull things off the wall. Because this is a little license holder right here. That's witnessed this whole thing that's going on right now. And it's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous.
And we used to be partners. And I know you don't want to be weaponized against us. We used to be partners in business, right? Now you're coming in here and you're threatening us with fines to fucking put me out of business, Brad. How does that make sense for you guys to collect more fees?
I'm done taking the browbeating.
This is what you guys have created.
Touch your mask a few more times.
Call the commission if you have issues. Okay? You have any questions, sir?
I don't. As long as he gets out of here and he's not trying to grab shit off the wall anymore.
This poor guy.
Thank you. I'm sorry to have you bothered, but this is man.
Which, and again, you know, the city police have been great throughout this whole thing. They didn't want to have any part of this. But they're tasked. Every city has to have somebody that acts in the authority of the Liquor Commission.
So in our particular situation, we're in downtown Gaylord. Our license is overseen by the Gaylord City Police. Versus if we were outside, it would most likely be the state police.
Right.
So that's why the Gaylord City Police were here. And then when we were at the Freedom Rally down at Bell Iron Grill, the state police showed up, and they were both.
You know,
so I mean, they're monkey in the middle too.
They don't want to be doing it. They want no part of it, which is just why at the Freedom Rally, they were camped out at both ends, but they didn't want to be involved throughout the whole thing. But what I noticed at that last conversation at the end, how many times he said, "I'm not arguing with you. I'm done taking the browbeating." He could have just left. Once he served you that paperwork, he had every opportunity just to turn around and leave. Instead of arguing with you, laughing.
I've always felt like there's an air of entitlement and arrogance to this whole interaction that happened front to back.
Oh, especially with the enforcement jacket.
Yeah, I mean, it just, you know, I understand these people, they do have a legitimate job to do. It just so happens that this particular situation, our situation, was one in which we chose to take up that fight. Brad necessarily didn't choose to be there.
Well, like we said, surely on a Friday night he had better places to be.
He had better place, but the way in which they handled it told me everything that I needed to know about their official position when it comes to them as the license giver and me as the licensee. Like, they really don't care about me.
No, if you had just closed down like they wanted.
Right.
Which is what he said.
It opened my eyes to the whole thing, and this is the first interaction that we had, really, besides with the health department when we had the cease and desist. So we stayed open, got the emergency suspension on this day.
The threats of the daily fines.
So a couple of days later, I get a phone call from our chief of police here in town, and he says, listen, here's what's going to happen. And I said, yeah, I mean, I've got the license here, no problem. Come on by whenever. So they came by, I handed over the license, and we have that interaction on video as well. Like I said, it's not, and it's pretty plain Jane. They were really nice about it. It was a very amicable situation. They explained the consequences if I continued to stay open, which this ding dong absolutely never did. He handed me some paperwork and said, there you go. Our chief of police, who has many, many better things to keep track of and to be doing, could explain to me better what was going to happen than the liquor enforcement investigative officer, Sergeant Serpico.
Because he probably read it.
That was my whole thing, is how do you not know what any of this is? Well, call the liquor commission if you have any. You are the liquor commission, bro. How do you not know?
And again, I mean, he could have just served you and left. He could have. There's so many ways watching that tape that they could have went about this differently. That would have been less offensive, less, well, again, I think they wanted the shock and all. Like I said, he probably didn't want to be here, but somebody in Lansing wanted to come in that night immediately and pull it.
I think he was expecting to be the hero that night, right? For whoever would be lionizing him. I don't know, but I think he may have had grandiose ideas that when he walked in there that we were going to shut everything off,
shut the lights
off, lock
the doors.
And I was going to make a big announcement. Oh, we're Dunsville.
Everybody put your drinks down. Time to go.
Yeah. I mean, we've been calling their bluff, you know, after the first week of the November shutdown. And this was just a continuation of us, you know, calling that bluff because they had no idea what the hell they were doing.
No, and that's been the whole thing with this whole fight, not just from you, but from restaurant owners, barbers, from everybody, is that when somebody pushes back, they don't know what to do.
Right.
There has been no... and you think back to the original, when it all started, what happens if we do? They didn't have an answer.
No. Beyond...
It's a mandate.
Beyond $1,000 a day fine, up to $1,000 a day fine, really was the one that they could point to the most.
Yeah.
And that's not an arbitrary number by any means.
No, but I mean, if you think about it, they told us that there would be... Originally, consequences of, I can't remember what they were, but because they didn't know at the time, but we couldn't go to the store and buy paint.
Yeah. Yeah. Among a myriad of other things.
Yeah, certain, you know, back when the individuals were on lockdown, you know, there was, well, what are you going to do about it?
Yeah.
There never was an answer. They didn't think that far ahead because they expected everybody just to stop and listen.
So ultimately, what happened after we handed over our license, I can't remember what day that ended up being, a couple days after this, we did not serve alcohol for the better part of 90 days.
That was brutal.
We couldn't keep enough CO2 in the house. We've never sold so much soda ever.
I remember you talking about that.
It's insane.
People just kept coming in.
I mean,
And I think that's when your fight really, when word started spreading.
Yeah.
Because people knew there was no liquor, and they still came in with lines out the door.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, it's hard not to recognize the fact, too, that being the one of very few restaurants that were remaining open, you know, supply and demand, if you will.
Yeah, and that was when you had other restaurants in
town. So there are plenty of people that came to eat because we were the only place, you know, open in town, and they still felt comfortable coming here, whether or not they were here to, you know, support our fight or not. They still showed up and spent their money, and that's what kept us open. That's why we're still here.
And there was a time when people were saying it was unfair that you stayed open.
Yeah.
Which I've said along, you know, everybody had the same opportunity, but what they forget to understand is that you risked everything, and there's just as much chance that you could have lost it all.
Yeah, what was it? Somebody said, I don't know how you had the balls to stay open when the rest of us couldn't. And I immediately corrected him and said, no.
You could have.
Wouldn't. You wouldn't. You could have, but you didn't.
Nope.
It's not that you couldn't, because
others tried for a day or two, got a phone call, and shut right back down.
Yeah. Well, and consequently, what did we do? We changed the law.
Yeah.
Right? That's pretty much all that that's in there. Maybe we'll string together a portion of the back video where we surrender the license to the local city cops. We'll go through that and have a look at it again, see what that looks like. But this is an easy, quick episode for today. We'll put this out in combination
episode. Play along with us. Count how many times the folder's open. Count the mask touch.
Mask touching.
Turn into a drinking game.
Yeah. Show me the money, says Jerry Maguire. Thanks for joining us on this week's episode, Murphy's Law. My buddy Chris Kuhn, thanks for joining us.